pitch the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds. Rebound! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four! Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
Okay, Q, welcome back to On the Floor. I guess welcome to On the Floor with Q is the appropriate term. Can I get a desk slap from you?
Oh, yeah, let's get that slap. There you go. Sorry, I was checking my phone, making sure it was on silent. I didn't want to.
Did you win that Eli Manning helmet from Tuesday?
I did not. Since then, I've kind of dabbled in and watched about 45 different autographed helmets on eBay. For those of you that don't know what that means, it means you click watch so that it's like on this list, and then it'll send you a reminder so you know, don't forget to bid on it before it closes. So I've watched like 45 helmets, and I haven't pulled the trigger on any of them. I'm too nervous.
It's probably a fiscally responsible endeavor.
Yeah, I'm too risk averse. Yeah. So I don't know.
Okay, well, since we talked on Tuesday, OSU has played, we never really got into Bedlam last week, but there's not much to say about Bedlam.
Yeah. Nothing.
I mean, you summed it up pretty nicely in your recap on Saturday.
Yeah, that was something we never wanted to remember again, something we needed to just move on from. So that's what we did.
Yeah, it is. But since then, OSU played Nebraska yesterday, put a good game against them, beat them 53-52, and then played KU today and lost 63-62.
Heartbreaker.
Yeah, it was devastating. We'll get to that in a second. I want to know kind of what your thoughts were. You watched the Nebraska game. That first half when OSU jumped out to a 25-11 lead, what were you – I mean, were you like, where's this been all year? Or what was your thought process?
Well, first of all, I only saw the first half. I had class, so I was in class for the second half. But the first half
– that's horrendous. And
I know. Rough timing there. And I sent a tweet, I think, tweeted. I don't think you send a tweet, but you tweet it. Anyway, I did that about the time that we didn't score for like 7 minutes after that, where I said, where is this like movement on offense come from? Because it was like we weren't just standing still. It was like we actually looked like kind of like a motion offense where guys were actually moving, passing and going away, or passing and screening, or driving. Or it just was like unlike anything we'd really seen most of the year.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know, because of that, we're playing really well. So not only that, but how well did we shoot the ball? That was the incredible part to me was it was like no one could miss. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I think that it was weird because it's like it all just started to fall apart at about the 8 minute mark in the first half.
Right.
And it was like, where did that come from? But then where did it go?
Yeah. It's just like it went up in flames. And I saw your, I think it might have been your recap from the Nebraska game where you were questioning what Ford meant by hitting more threes leads to better defense.
Yeah,
I agree with what he's saying because I think that when you're hitting shots, especially when you're hitting outside shots, it just you want to play more defense. I think that's what he meant. You know what I mean? Like when things are going well offensively, you're just more invested on the defensive end. I think that's what he meant by it. I understood what you were saying also, that playing good defense sometimes leads to easier, better shots.
But yeah, I just felt like he was putting a premium on outside offense versus, you know, kind of what OSU, what's kind of been their staple in the past, which is perimeter and inside defense that leads to easy offensive buckets. I think OSU kind of did that yesterday because they held Nebraska to 52 points. But I just, right. I didn't really understand where he was going with that, I guess.
Yeah. I was tracking with him. I liked it. I think that I was tracking with him. I think it was frustrating to see us shoot that well from the standpoint of you're like, why can't we shoot this well all the time? Because I don't think that like Sidorkis, again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, I feel like he could have been a better shooter than he kind of was throughout his career. He just didn't get as many shots. And then like Roger Dahl, I mean, there's no reason that guards shouldn't be able to hit some shots, especially when they're open. And Markel, you know, hit a three yesterday. Markel had a really pretty shot today, kind of on the right wing in front of the KU bench late in the first half, where he kind of rose up and hit a pretty awesome shot. Not to change subjects into the KU game right away, but
well, speaking of Markel, I thought he was, you know, he's kind of been up and he hasn't been up and down. He's been very freshman like all year, to where he'll do stuff that kind of amazes you, and then he'll do stuff that you're like, I mean, how does that happen? How do you let that happen?
Yeah, he continues to have some pretty impressive blocks. I mean, he can jump.
Well, what do we think his ceiling is? What are his limitations in terms of, like, compare him to somebody else?
Gosh, that's tough. I don't know. I mean, I could see him. I mean, I don't want to say James Anderson, but maybe. Like, I feel like he's that athletic. Now, will he become that good of a shooter? I don't know. But I think that's, if we're talking ceiling, I think he could, you know?
Yeah, I think he. To me, he's a different player than James, because James was – see, I think Markel's more athletic, but James is just a better basketball player, a better passer, a better shooter, a better scorer in general. But I think Markel is more of a – I think I wrote this. He's kind of like a Kareem Rush type. He's kind of like I don't know who else to compare him to. Maybe like a – he's not like Pullen. Pullen's a better shooter than him. But I mean, I guess I'll stay with the Kareem Rush in that he's a slasher. He plays good defense. I have no idea if Kareem Rush played good defense. I think he did. But can you speak to that?
If Kareem Rush played good defense?
Yeah.
No, I can't speak to that. I won't speak on that. But maybe we could ask Coach Blostra to weigh in on that. Or Stelestra.
I called him. Maybe he could. Yeah, I called him Spolaresta. Rhymes with Polestra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody didn't hear that on the Pistol Cast earlier in the week, you need to go back and check that out, when Pistol's guy just absolutely butchers Coach Eric Spolstra of the Miami Heat. But anyway, I digress.
It was pretty bad. People say these things about Markel, that he doesn't have his head on straight, that he's out of control. We forget that he's 25 games into his college career, and he's not a junior. He's not a senior. And there was a Q&A with Keaton in the paper, I think it was on Monday, where he talked about how good JPO and Markel are going to be next year, because the difference between your first year and your second year is just vast, he said, in the Big 12. And the difference in the way you understand things and the way you see things is just unbelievable, jumping from that year one to that year two.
Right.
So I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know if it's, you know, like I said, Kareem Rush. People have compared him to Desmond Mason because of the leaping ability. I think Desmond Mason's more of a fair comparison than James is. Just because Desmond was kind of like Markel coming in. He wasn't a great scorer. He wasn't a great shooter.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not real privy to a lot of Desmond Mason's early career, as I was more focused on Tulsa at that time. But I don't think Desmond was ever a great shooter. I mean, I think Markel's already a better shooter than Desmond was, so I think he's kind of got a leg up in that regard.
He shoots 55% from the free throw line.
Markel?
Yeah.
I agree, that's awful. But from the field, he's a decent shooter. I mean, he's got a decent shot, is what I'm saying.
I think if he develops his that kind of 16-foot jumper, I think that's what he – forget the three, forget about all that. If he develops the 16-foot jumper with the way he drives, I think he could – I mean, I think he could be a first-team All-Big 12 player.
Right. The free throws are pathetic. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's part of the problem with today's game, or part of the positive. That's part of why we were in the game with KU today, is because we shot free throws so well. I don't think we've shot – I bet that was our highest free throw shooting game of the year. We only missed three.
Well, I mean, we shoot like 75%.
Do we?
Yeah. Look it up.
I feel like Well, I just feel like it. I just feel like every time we go up, we miss one at least. Don't you feel like that? Except for Keaton.
Well, except for Keaton, and except for how about when Markell stepped to the line protecting a 1-point lead yesterday and had two big ones that he just knocked down with a minute left.
Yeah, that's clutch. Okay, let's start talking about the game today. Everybody wants to hear what you thought about it. What did you think? Give me your thoughts early on in the game as you scrambled to find a way to watch it. Kind of take me through how it went down for you, that those 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Well, I was scrambling. I was at work trying to follow it on Gamecast, and you know, I see us jumping out to this whatever it was, 8-point lead, 9-point lead. You know, we're just pouring it on against the number two team in the country, a team that Travis Ford called the best offensive team and the best team in the country today after the game.
Uh-huh.
And so I go home at halftime. I'm thinking, there's no way this can last. We can't keep this up. And really, I don't think OSU necessarily did keep it up. I think Kansas just played terribly. I mean, I don't understand what they're doing. They've got Marcus Morris, the Big 12 Player of the Year, Markieff Morris, who is a dominating inside presence, and they shoot 25 threes. They've got Morningstar and Reed out there just launching from 25 feet, and they shoot 20%. I mean, why did they not get it inside to their big guys?
I don't know. I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head in your recap of the game. It's like, did their game plan that their assistant gave, did it say like the key to beating OSU is to shoot threes? Because that's wrong. Like, that's not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw the two fouls that Moses and Pilgrim made 90 feet from their basket. So how much more do they foul when it's 10 feet from their basket?
Yeah, I got to say the funniest tweet that I saw the entire game came from you whenever you said, I think it was when Pilgrim picked up his fourth, and you said it's probably a good idea to foul 93 feet and 6 inches from your own, from the other team's basket.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those guys get caught up in the moment sometimes, but I just don't.
And they're trying to make a play, and I appreciate their effort and the hustle, but they just aren't, it's not smart. It's not a smart play, you know, like, the risk or the cost benefit analysis of that is just,
oh my gosh, this is going downhill. Where are you going with this?
I'm just saying they need to think about what the costs are and what the benefits are. How many times are they going to call a foul there versus how many times you're actually going to make a good play for your team?
Right.
It's not, I mean, very rare is a steal or something going to come out of that. So just back off and go down and play defense. Like, both he and Moses did it on their fourth foul today. It just blew my mind.
It's something that Pilgrim as well as Moses never really, I feel like they never really figured out. And a lot of it, Ford hit on this after, in the post game when he talked about he was talking about Markell and JPO getting caught up in the emotion of the game. And I think Moses has a tendency to do that. I think Pilgrim has a tendency to do that, that they lose kind of a sense of what they're doing or where they're at. And they're just playing basketball, and it's.
I think Marshall Moses and Matt Pilgrim were just playing follow the leader, basically, towards the end of the game. I mean, Pilgrim got the 93-foot foul, and then Moses decided he wanted to do the same thing, and then Pilgrim got the Pilgrim got the back-end offensive foul with the left shoulder, so Moses decided he wanted to do the same thing. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. We're in kindergarten again or something.
I did think, and I don't like talking about the refs, because I think in the end it usually balances out, but I thought that a couple on Moses were maybe a little questionable. The last one was a
flop. I would say that to me, Pilgrim's fifth foul, I would give him an offensive foul, but Moses is the kid flopped. I mean, the thing about it is that play is so tough to officiate because those guys do bump and bang all the time. Well, sometimes the defensive guy will body up, and then sometimes he just goes soft and falls down. Well, I mean, is it really a foul or is it not? You know, it's hard to tell in fast speed like that. And
fast speed.
Rarely is the case where the guy blatantly like throws his arm out there and it's evident that it's an offensive foul. You know,
right.
There's that fine line between, is it a flop? Is it not? It's very tough to tell most of the time.
Well, I felt I thought that okay, we're talking about fouls. I thought the officiating might have slanted toward Kansas a little bit, and probably a lot of that had to do with they were in Kansas City, they had the home crowd and all that stuff. But
see,
I
did you?
See, I thought it did a little, but I thought in turn OSU got a lot of balls that bounced their way. They got a lot of kind of weird turnovers that Kansas had. I think all that stuff kind of evened out in the end. Did you not?
There were moments, especially at the beginning of the second half, where I said, okay, well, there's no way they're going to let OSU win this game. KU's going to start getting every call. But I don't really feel like they did. I mean, I feel like I don't know. I just feel like you said, I feel like for the most part, it pretty much evened out. I mean, unless you're getting Rutgers'd like they did last night.
That
I
was
mean,
unbelievable.
Yeah, that's unreal. So unless it's something like that's happening to you towards the end of a game, I feel like for the most part it evens out. I mean, and why complain about refs? I don't think that's the – I think it goes more to what you were saying. There was a lot of just bounces and things that went our way. And I think a lot of it were hustle plays. I mean, there was a couple times where we just took the ball away from them on like a loose ball or a, you know, 50-50 ball, and we went and just got it because it looked like we wanted it more. But I continue to be impressed by these guys that they don't give up and they just come out and battle. I kind of had a feeling that they would come out and just play decent today. I didn't think that they'd played that well for 40 minutes. I thought maybe we'd play well for a half. But, you know, I feel like this is the kind of game that a team barely wins like KU did, and then they just go off after this. Yeah. Like I bet KU rolls Colorado tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I bet KU rolls on Saturday, whoever they play.
Well, it's gonna be Texas.
Probably. But
after they just obliterate OU tonight.
Well, hopefully. They're up 20 or something at halftime. Can we get a Cade Davis watch? I hope he hadn't scored.
By the way, Oklahoma State shoots 72% free throws.
Yeah, that's not good enough.
Sixth in the Big 12.
It's not terrible.
No, but I mean, take Keaton away and we're probably last.
Exactly. That 90% he shoots skews that big time.
Which, how about Markell going and hitting two yesterday and then Keaton stepping up and missing the front end of the 1-1?
I know. Ugh. That's enough to give you heartburn right there.
So, we've got, you had Travis Ford in the post game, and he talked about how he thought if OSU would have beaten Kansas today, they would have been in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I saw that quote. I don't, I don't think so.
But okay, so Gottlieb said that too. He said that if OSU beats
when did Kansas, he say that? See, I saw a Gottlieb tweet during the game that said OSU had to win out.
Oh well, somebody told me he said it before the game today.
Oh, I just don't think there's any way that if they would have been. Let's say they would have won today. That would have made them 20-12, and then they would have lost tomorrow and been 20-13.
Yeah,
I don't think so. I mean, no, not when they went 6-10. If they would have gone 7-9, then I think winning today probably would have got them in.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we continue to harp on the Tech game, the Colorado game.
Well, that's just it. It's amazing the difference between. I mean, your whole season comes down to like 6 or 7 possessions.
Yeah. And
you know what I mean?
Well, you look at the OU game, the A&M game. So that's 4 games right there. If they win, I think 2 of those plus the way they play today, they're in.
Yeah.
I mean, undoubtedly.
Well, and that should get all the Ford, you know, the people who want to be Ford haters need to get a clue. And that should tell them something right there, because this team doesn't really have any business being in the tournament. And yet they were literally probably 5, 6, 7 possessions away from being a tournament team.
Yeah. I mean, I would say fewer than that.
If that doesn't tell you that Ford is doing a good job, then you need to reevaluate some things, because.
Well, and we keep talking about this idea that, you know, Moses and all these guys always play hard. Well, why don't we just say Ford's teams play hard? I mean.
Good point. Yeah.
You're talking about the David Mons and the Bogan team under Sutton, or under Sean Sutton.
Right.
That, you know, they mailed it in the last part of the season, but you know, this team never shut it down. None of Ford's teams have ever quit that I've noticed.
Right. I agree completely. So. Let me ask you this. What did you think of the play where Keaton, it was in the first half and Keaton got like stiff-armed basically by Morningstar and went down to the ground in the lane, and then Morningstar just kind of hovered over him. And then Keaton kind of took his arm, and it almost looked like he just took his arm straight up into Morningstar's man area. And they called a foul on Morningstar. Do you remember that?
Took it into Morningstar's Morningstar's.
Yeah, pretty much.
I actually didn't see it.
Self went nuts. This must have been when you were still trying to find a site through which to watch the game, but Self went nuts. He was not happy. It was a foul on Morningstar when they replayed it. He was just hovering over him and he wouldn't move. So it's like he's got to move out of the way and give him a chance to get up. I don't really know why I asked you about that. I just thought it was funny.
Well, the two things that, and I kind of started thinking about this after the game, you look at the technical on JPO and the technical on Markell. And I think Kansas hit three out of those four technical free throws.
I thought they just hit two. I thought they hit one each time.
Oh, did they hit two? Okay, so they hit two, which ended up being the difference in the game. Do you look at those two plays and say, you know, had we not got technicals, we might have won?
No, I hate when people do that. Don't do that. That's ridiculous.
Okay, hold up. First of all, hold on.
That's ridiculous.
I'm trying to ask you
time. No. Don't even start. The only time that you can say stuff even remotely close to that is in the last 20 seconds of a game.
Two
technical fouls that happened in the first half were the difference in the game.
First of all, I hope you remember that I have the controls right now and I can mute you. This is going to be around the horn here in a second. I'm just going to put you on mute and I'm going to freeze your face in my screen. And second of all, I am not insinuating that I agree with the question that I ask. I'm simply imploring you to find out what your thoughts are of it.
Okay. Well, I don't want you to ever think that because that sounds like things that people in Norman say.
No, I think exactly the opposite. I was fired up that we were playing with some swagger. You know, Markell's standing over people after he swats them and just screaming in their faces.
You should have heard this because I know this was before you started watching because you texted me and said was JPO when JPO got his tee, you said was it legit or was it deserved? And I said, yeah, absolutely. He like stared him down, jawed at him, and came at him.
I love it though.
You should have heard Bob Knight and Musburger. I mean, they were having a field day over there in their sweaters and just talking about how, you know, the kid makes a great play and then he has to go and show everybody how great he is and he just takes away from the team, and which, I mean, I agree he shouldn't have gotten the tee, but at the same time it was nice to see a little bit of fire in
yes
the team.
I completely agree. I want this team to have more swagger than they've had blah blah blah. I want this team to you know, play with more fire than they have. They've played hard all year. They deserve to be fired up about dunking on people and swatting Big 12 players of the year and generally playing a great game against the number 2 team in the country. And if you want to talk about Bob Knight, people talk about how he's this legendary coach and he's won all these games. He hasn't shown me a whole lot in his evaluation of teams via the announcing booth.
No, I mean, every now and then he's got some insight like that I don't think most announcers have because he has coached. Like which he talks about this one all the time, which is ridiculous. But he's always like, I wish I could do Bob Knight's voice, but
it's going to be like when, what's his name yesterday, tried to impersonate Olajuwon.
I didn't hear that.
Oh,
no.
Gosh, it was like, it wasn't Armstrong, it was the other guy.
Reed Geddes.
He tried.
It must have been the second half.
Yeah, it wasn't the second half. He sounded like Shaq crossed with Larry Bird, but if he was like had something wrong with him, it was the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. So Bob Knight was talking about he always all year, like every game, probably guaranteed. He talks about it once or twice. See right there, if the kid would give a shot fake,
oh yeah,
it would just clear up so much. And it's just like, that's a great point, and not a lot of announcers would make good points like that. But it's like, I don't need you to make it. Like, that's his go-to, and so that's like one of the only things he can say, you know. Or I think his biggest thing that he loves to do is talk about the refs. He talks about the refs all the time.
Yeah, because that's all he did when he coached. I'm going to go ahead and say that Bob Knight is the Cal Ripken of NCAA coaches. Not that we remember him for being, or not that he actually was great, but that we remember him as being great because he coached for so long. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, he won national titles, multiple.
Well, Cal Ripken won the World Series.
No. Did he?
I thought they won it in like 84.
Maybe they did when he was early in his career. But I don't consider Cal as big a – I'm calling him Cal like I know him. I did meet him, shook his hand. His hand was gigantic.
Yeah.
It was like two of my hands. I got totally lost in that. I don't think Cal Ripken contributed as much to his World Series title as Bob Knight did to his multiple national titles.
Cal Ripken hit 167 with no homers and one RBI in the 1983 World Series against the Phillies.
Okay, so there you go.
What did I say? Did I say 80? I think I said 83.
I think you said 84, 85, but it doesn't matter. I see what you're saying, but I don't know. I think Bob Knight's a great coach and was a great coach. Okay. I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
Would you rather have Bob Knight right now or Travis Ford?
I'd rather have Travis Ford. Bob Knight's old. But would I rather have Bob Knight?
You just said Bob Knight's a great coach. Indiana?
When he was at Indiana, I think he was a great coach. When he got old, it was too much, man.
I disagree.
No one wanted to play for him anymore.
I disagree.
I don't know.
And speaking of the Knights, what about Pat Knight wearing a suit yesterday?
Yeah, what's up with that? I don't get that.
Did you see what he said about it?
That he was no.
That he wanted to go out in style?
Yeah, what does that even mean? Like and I think somebody tweeted that back to me that he wanted to go out in style, and I'm going, okay, like, what does that even mean? Are you auditioning for your next job? I don't think they really care what you wear. Like, they've seen you wear a polo for the last 2.5 seasons, or 2 7/8 seasons. So I don't know why you think that putting on a suit for a Big 12 tournament game is going to make a difference. But I mean, that was weird.
Yeah, he says that, and then he basically recites Billy Gillespie's resume to the. I mean,
yeah, isn't that weird?
I don't know.
Texas, that's pretty much a slam dunk. I mean, I bet Gillespie's already at a bar in Lubbock.
okay. Easy.
I mean, let's be honest. I can guarantee you that's happening.
So that's done deal.
Yeah, that's a done deal. No way that doesn't happen. So he's a Texas boy.
Do you go back to 2008 if you're Texas Tech and say, we'll trade Pat Knight and Mike Leach straight up for Tommy Tuberville and Billy Gillespie?
What do you mean? I don't understand the question. If I was a Texas Tech fan, would I do it?
Yeah, in 2008, would you want to do that? Because that's essentially what if this is a done deal, that's what you've done.
I would do that.
You would?
Yes.
Do you not understand the question?
I mean, I do. I just don't understand why you're asking it. It's kind of bizarre.
Well, how is it bizarre?
I just don't understand why you're asking it. I mean, because both their coaches are leaving, because Mike Leach and Pat Knight both left under odd circumstances, or...
Yeah, I mean,
because you think Tommy Tuberville and Billy Gillespie like share drinks together,
you keep talking about Gillespie and drinking. I just feel like,
well, he's got multiple DUIs.
Leach,
that's
I feel like Leach and I keep wanting to say Stoops. Leach and Knight were forced out under strange circumstances. Like they were just kind of kicked out the door.
Okay, yeah.
And then you bring in Tuberville and allegedly Gillespie. I mean, do you want that as a Tech coach, or would you rather still have Leach and Knight?
I don't know. I guess it depends on if you're a Tech fan, if you're
more. Okay, so can we admit this actually was a good question?
I mean, it's a decent question. I don't know why we're talking about Texas Tech on our OSU Pistol Cast.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't either.
We go other places, but I'm not trying to go to Lubbock. I mean, that's one of the last places in the Big 12 I want to go. So let's rein this back in.
That could be a good post. Like top 10 Big 12 road trips. I guess it'd be 9 now.
That'd be a great post. Let's make it happen.
I should write that.
I'm already trying to figure out where I'm going to go next year, because I really want to go somewhere next year, whether it be Texas or whether it be A&M.
I really want to go to Missouri.
Missouri would be a fun one.
I think that'd be.
My sister went to that one a couple years ago and had a phenomenal time back when Chase Daniel and his booger picking his nose. Yeah. They were ranked number one or two or whatever.
And they were two. No, they were two or three, but then one and two lost and they would have been number one.
Right. And that kind of catapulted us to where we are now a little bit. That was our first kind of big, huge win, I feel like.
That's good radio there, Q.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel about championship week? Do you think that this weekend is more exciting than next weekend, the first weekend of the tournament?
I don't, and you and I have talked about the Big East tournament and the Big 12 tournament and just all these different, I think it is very cool that you have all these teams from the same conference in one venue.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas next week you're going to have some 16 seeds it's stupid. It's like, why are we here? The ones, you know, there's some games that are just kind of dumb. But then with these conference tournaments, you have everybody who's been going at each other all year vying for that, you know, that automatic berth. And right. It's awesome. I mean, like we've talked about, going to the Big East tournament, hanging out in New York for a week would be unparalleled. It'd be unbelievable. Yeah. I still like next week better because there's more on the line, because you're playing for a title, because theoretically Butler could win six in a row and take down Duke in the national title game.
Yeah.
And next weekend is the beginning of that. And I think I have more fond memories of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament than I do the Big 12 tournament. Although going to the Big 12 tournament, I think could feasibly be better than going to the first round of the NCAA.
Okay.
Would you rather go to the first round of the NCAA or the Big 12?
Like the whole Big 12?
The whole Big 12.
Whole weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it kind of depends on the teams that are in the NCAA tournament at the site that you happen to be at, but
right.
But I mean,
you're rolling the dice. You're saying, I don't know.
Sure, yeah. Right. I mean, I'd probably choose the Big 12 just because you're assuming that it's a year where your team is decent. Your team is like competitive. Like if you're Iowa State, no, I wouldn't rather go to the Big 12 tournament and watch that. You know what I mean? But like those years where OSU was like one of the two or three best teams in the league, then I'd probably enjoy going to the Big 12 more. And it'd be a little bit cheaper too.
Yeah.
A little bit lighter on the wallet. So, that's how I feel right now.
Okay,
let me ask you this. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna get to the main crushes of the week, but if you have something that you want to talk about,
well, I just wanted to ask you real quick. I know you're getting ready to go to the Mavs Knicks game,
yeah.
One of the two national TNT games tonight. I want to first implore you to not buy anything Mavs related.
You don't have anything.
I need you to, if you get thirsty, you need to go to the water fountain. If you get hungry, I need you to have brought something in your jeans pocket. I don't need you buying a Jason Terry jersey tee. I don't need you buying a Dirk jersey. I don't need you buying a Tyson Chandler hat or arm sleeve. I don't know.
A Tyson Chandler hat?
I don't really know where I'm going with this. But the thing I wanted to ask you is, what are you looking for when you go to the game tonight? What's one thing you're excited about for the Knicks-Mavs?
Well, I think that I'm definitely excited to see Chauncey and Melo take down the Mavs. Did you see Melo's shot on Tony Allen last night?
Impressive. Impressive.
It was filthy.
Let me ask you this. As a Thunder fan,
right.
I'm assuming the Thunder are your favorite NBA team. I hope. Let's get that out there. That's obvious. But as a Thunder fan, are you like verbally and visually rooting for the Knicks like tonight when you go to the American Airlines Center? Or are you just going to be one of those guys who, like, when you go watch your team play in somebody else's arena, you just kind of give small fist pumps when they do good things?
No, I'm neutral. I think in my head I'll be verbally abusing Caron Butler and, you know.
You'll be verbally abusing Caron Butler?
Yeah, in my head.
Well, he's not even playing right now. He's hurt. So
well,
that's
the point.
That's mean-spirited.
Well, but he's closer. He's on the bench, so he's closer to where I'll be sitting.
Well, he's already hurt. That's just mean. That's wrong.
Well, take it for what it is. That's what I'm going to be doing. I don't like Crumbo or I don't like Jason. I don't like any of those guys. But no, I'm neutral. I'm just going with a friend. I don't love this idea of when you go to a game, you have to root for a certain team if your team's not playing.
I agree.
And speaking on that, I don't need, I'm not going in a Russell Westbrook, away jersey tonight. I hate it when people wear
stuff and that team's not playing.
Yeah, and it's like, are you trying to make a statement here? Or what do you do? Like, somebody shows up in a Kevin Bookout jersey to an OSU Baylor game in Stillwater. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, what are you trying to accomplish there? Like, how about you just wear nothing? Like,
well, not nothing.
Just no sports-related things.
Right, just wear black. I've got my O-State hat on that's neutral. It's not,
right.
There's no OSU players on either team. I'm just going to hang out. I'm going to see the threesome from New York. And, I think it's interesting that they've, in 2 weeks kind of gelled better than the Miami Vice down in South Florida.
Yeah, it's too bad, so sad.
Yeah, is that still a phrase, or is this?
It is in my world, bro.
Okay, let's bring this all the way back. I want to talk about, real quick before we go, before I have to go to the Mavs game, to the Knicks game, whatever you want to call it.
Let's talk about a couple of our guys on the Cowboys.
Well, I wanted to talk about the last possession first.
Okay, sorry.
And if you... we all have these grand ideas that we could be basketball coaches. You actually have coached basketball.
Right.
What did you think about the way OSU handled their last possession?
I think that it was pretty evident to me, at least, or I hope it was evident. It seemed that he definitely wanted somebody going towards the basket. I definitely think he was trying to create something off the dribble. I think that KU played really good defense. I don't think that OSU was able to get any penetration. The thing that was frustrating about it to me was, for whatever reason, we weren't able to ever penetrate. I don't think the ball got inside the 3-point line.
No.
And Keaton didn't touch the ball. And in the last 19 seconds, I don't like that. Furthermore, if you're down one with 20 seconds, I want you to attack the rim quick, like within the first 5 to 8 seconds, so that if you don't get something, you can still foul and you're still one possession down and there's still time left. You know what I'm saying? You want to extend that game when you're down. And who's to say that he didn't tell those guys to go try and get a quick one and they couldn't? I mean, those guys were moving and trying to make something happen and they just weren't able to. It was just kind of disappointing because I don't think anything ended up happening the way he probably drew it up in the, I think it was just bad execution more than bad, play.
Draw up.
Is
that what you're going to say?
A bad design.
See, I don't have any problem with Keaton not touching it. He's not really a guy that you... I mean, what's he going to do with it? You're going to have somebody...
I don't know, though. He had a couple possessions in the second half even where he took guys off the dribble and made layups. I mean...
Well, to me, it looked like they were trying to get Dow to drive the lane and then maybe kick it to JPO, who was cutting.
Right, right.
And it kind of got screwed up because Dow lost the handle on it.
I agree.
And I agree with you. Who am I to question what play Travis Ford drew up? The only thing that I do kind of that I kind of second guess is, like you said, go to the bucket in the first 5 seconds. If you miss, I guess Franklin is there for the rebound since we had.
Yeah, maybe you get a tap in.
Right, maybe you get a tap in. Worst case scenario, they get it back. Tyrell Reed's on the line having to hit the two biggest free throws of his life. And then he hits both of them. Keaton's got a shot at a three for the tie. And what we did, I mean, we don't even get a shot. I mean, we got a shot off, but not really. So that was kind of where I was coming from that I disagreed with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was the only part that was disappointing is that we didn't shoot earlier to give ourselves a chance to extend the game. But I said, I mean, that's just, all that is doing is – I can't think of a phrase right now, and I don't want to say a bad one, but it's just picking at things that don't need to be picked at. I mean, they played hard today, and I was proud of them.
So are
I
mean, we
if you weren't, then you need to go put on some crimson and cream.
Are we rooting 22. For? Are we rooting for KU to win the Big 12 tournament?
you know, as an OSU fan, I'm rooting for KU to win. If we're not going to win things, I'm rooting for KU to win national titles, because I think the only way that Self ever comes back here, because here's the thing, Ford, I've said this before, but Ford is going to continue to be successful here. And eventually Calipari is going to leave Kentucky and Travis Ford is going to be who they call. Just mark it down right now. I mean, that's just call me a Mayan and call this 2012.
Hold on. A Mayan?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, the Mayans said that the world's going to end in 2012, you know, and they're pretty confident about it. Now, I don't know, and maybe that was a bad analogy because I don't believe that they're right, but basically what I'm saying is it's going to happen. Calipari is going to leave, and Ford is going to have done a good job here, and he's going to get the call up to Kentucky. And at that point, we want Self to have won multiple titles at KU so he can come home, just like Eddie did, and win a title here.
So in 2018, you want me to send you an email that says, "Hey, Mr. Mayan, you were right back in 2011 about your prediction."
Yeah, I don't even think it'll take that long.
You think Calipari's out in before? I mean, how soon?
2015.
Calipari. He's going to the NBA. You think?
April, or he retires or something.
Oh, so April. We're predicting dates now.
Yeah, April 2015. Travis Ford becomes the next coach at the University of Kentucky. Bill Self becomes the next coach at Oklahoma State. Let's just go ahead and mark that down right now. If you need to, get a tattoo of it in case you're going to forget where you put the paper or
where
you save the document. Let's just tattoo that stuff on you.
Ford's contract lasts through 2018.
That doesn't mean he can't leave.
Yeah, that's true.
Contracts don't mean jack, jock.
Okay. The last thing I want to talk about.
I don't even know what that means. That was like Charlie Sheen radio right there.
I'm trying to hold this together. The last thing I want to talk about is...
We still
got to
get in a quick man crush.
Yeah. Well, the last thing I want to talk about is who of the young guys on OSU's team kind of throughout this tournament showed you the most heading into 2012. Who are you most excited about headed into next year?
That's a really good question. I'm glad you asked it. I'm really excited about... I think it's funny when I say really, because every time we post a pistol cast, my sister says, "You always say really." And so now I'm always cognizant of it. But
Can we edit that out?
Do what?
Can we edit this out? Can we just edit this whole thing?
It's 41-40. Okay, and 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm most excited about Reggie Dow, I believe. I just think it's been really impressive how well he's played the last, I guess, since the A&M game. What's that, 3 weeks? It's kind of odd to me because I kind of wonder where did it come from. Like, I don't know how that doesn't shine through in practice.
Right.
For whatever reason, he wasn't ever able to supplant anyone for some minutes. That kind of boggles my mind a little bit. But again, who are we to question Ford when it comes to that kind of stuff? But the way he played really excites me for next year for him. And then also one today was Jared Shaw. I don't understand why he hasn't been able to do that more often, to come in and just play defensively,
right,
and cause some problems for their bigs scoring-wise and get rebounds. Like, I don't understand why he hasn't been able to do that. So hopefully, you know, I think he kind of showed us a little bit of what he's capable of doing. So hopefully whatever it is that hasn't been clicking, hopefully it'll click, because I think he's the kind of guy that could come out, you know, score 6 or 8, but get you 8 or 9 rebounds and play really solid defense. And if he can do that, then he's going to be a really good player.
Right.
What about you?
Well, I've written in the last few days that Markell Brown is my Justin Gilbert of the basketball team.
Right.
And I just really, you know, I want to come up with a better comparison for him than Kareem Rush, because I don't feel like that really does his style justice. He's super athletic. I think he has the potential to be an all Big 12 defensive player, first teamer. I think he has the potential to be an all Big 12 player, you know, just overall.
Right.
And I think he's really going to be able to put it together next year. Now, I'm concerned about who's going to be their go-to guy, or if they know who their go-to guy is going to be, if that makes sense. Because you got Keaton, who's been there for 3 years, who's stepped up in big games, hit huge shots. You got LeBrian coming in, the, you know, the much ballyhooed high school recruit. Mm-hmm. And then you've got JPO, who, you know, at times this year looked like a, you know, a go-to crunch time guy. So who's the man? I don't think Markell is going to be the man next year, but I think that I think he's going to just step. I mean, he was filling up box scores with 10 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, his lines were ridiculous, and I think that's only going to improve going into next year.
Yeah, I agree.
So, okay, well, we've come to the portion of the podcast where we give our man crushes of the week. So let's go to the music, and we will come back with that.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and give me your man crush of the week first?
Okay. My man crush of the week is none other than the man who is dragging his team to the Big East Finals. 3 straight games. They've won. Game winner today, Kemba Walker, with a fadeaway in Madison Square Garden. I think UConn's kind of getting a little bit overlooked, and they were you know, a top 10 team earlier in the year. They fell off because they had some poor outings in the Big East, and he kind of fell out of the National Player of the Year race with Jimmer and Sullinger. Yeah. But it's been awesome to watch him this week in the Big East tournament. I think both of us are a little bit enamored with the Big East tournament.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, because I don't really even like the Big East. Right. I don't really usually like to watch their games, and I don't really like any of the teams from the Big East. But I just, for some reason, I think it would be maybe the most fun conference tournament to go to. Maybe it's because it's in Madison Square Garden. Maybe it's because there's, you know, 85 teams in their tournament, and they play like 4 games, you know, for the first 4 days of the tournament.
Yeah.
But it just always seems like there's some close games almost every day of their tournament. And it always seems like there's one team that makes a run, a deep run. And you look at UConn, they've already won 3. So, I don't know what it is about the Big East. It's kind of weird that we're both kind of enamored with it right now, but, yeah, Kemba Walker, that's a good pick. I think anybody could just pop out of the Big East and just surprise us in the tournament.
Yeah.
I feel like they all kind of beat up on each other. So it'd be interesting to see.
Who's your man crush of the week?
Okay. Mine is, I'm going to kind of go outside the box. That's what I try to do sometimes, is think outside
the
box.
Going against the grain?
Yeah. I'm going against the grain. I'm trying to make other people think outside the box a little bit when they look at their man crush. So kind of like you've done before when you've talked about, the Utah State student section is your man crush of the week. This week, my man crush is Stanley the Dog.
Oh my gosh, this is unprecedented.
There's no precedent for it. So this is the first precedent for it. Stanley the Dog is my dog, my wife and I's dog, and he had that big surgery that every dog dreads today. He got fixed, but he's taking it like a champ. Everybody we talked to said that he would come home and that he would be real lethargic, that he'd sleep for 48 hours straight. I'm telling you what, man, this dog came home and he's jumping, he's running, he's chasing his tail, he's ready to just get back out there and play. And that's what you look for in a dog. That's what you look for in a boy dog especially. And so I'm really excited about what Stanley's going to do from here forward, because this is kind of like a rite of passage for any dog. So anyway,
it sounds like a wrong of passage to me.
Just that you have to do that to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt really bad when I dropped him off at the vet this morning. I mean, wow. I consider myself kind of a manly guy. I mean, I'm sincere, and I can tear every now and then with the best of them, but
you
man.
Can, hold on. You can tear with the best of them?
I can tear up with the best of them, I should have said. But,
okay.
Yeah, when I dropped him off today, it was rough, man. He just kind of looked at me like, where are you going? And I said, Stanley, I'll be back, buddy. You're okay.
Yeah that's not good. Okay, Q. That's it for On the Floor.
All right, man.
Well, let's get a death slap from you. And we're going to go a mega podcast next Tuesday. We're going to go. That's also good radio, by the way. We have Q throwing his pistols up in the air.
folks, baby. We want people to know about the NCAA tournament bracket challenge that you're going to be hosting.
I think people know about the NCAA tournament.
But we want them to know that Pistols Firing is going to be hosting a bracket challenge, and I'm sure we'll be that'll be coming up on the site, and then we'll be discussing it some. Obviously,
we're going to be hosting a bracket challenge. We are going to have a giveaway to the winner.
There you go,
an undisclosed prize that we haven't actually come up with. If you have any ideas, email them in.
Yeah, we need some more emails. People need to email us questions so we can talk about them. I mean, we're ready, and I know we've got some faithful listeners, so give us some emails.
Well, I get a lot of emails.
Give us some emails about questions for the Pistolcast.
Yeah, but that would be nice. That'll
let you finish the show. I'm sorry.
Well, so we wouldn't have to hear about your dog being circumcised or whatever happened today.
It's not circumcision.
Okay, so we're doing Megapod next Tuesday. We might have a special guest on, talk NCAA tournament. We're going to actually be doing it, what'd you call it, on location?
It's on location, yeah. We're doing a remote, actually, from somewhere. It's undisclosed as of now.
Yeah, we're going to be live. We're not going to be live because you'll be listening to it in iTunes, but it's going to be both of us, same microphone, doing the podcast together. So look forward to that next Tuesday. Actually, I guess it'll be released on Wednesday. And until then, enjoy your conference tournament championships. We'll talk to you later, Q.
Deuces.